What on earth is that?
It's a Journey into Comics Network production!
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
Brought to you by the power of the Journey into Comics Network. This is the Journey into Comics podcast, the show that's 100% dedicated to everything nerd. With your hosts, the Podfather, Nate Phillips, the Podmaster, Brandon Stone, and the Journey into Comics Network stepdad, Tyler McLaughlin.
Time to make the chimichangas.
30 seconds.
Hey.
Excellent.
Finally. What did you do?
And here we go.
Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press? This town needs an enema.
What's up, true believers? Welcome back to Journey into Comics, episode 336. I'm one of your hosts, Brando, and joining me here today, my man, T.Y. How's it going, bud?
I saw the light at the end of the tunnel on a miserable project today on this fine Saturday. So it's great because I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. That is a direct quote from our buddy Will. Hell yeah, hell yeah.
isn't it weird? Like, I know, you know, you are the type of person just like me where, like, when it comes to overtime, obviously, you know, we see the benefits, right? And It's like, you know, when I worked at Subaru, you and I worked a lot of overtime together. So it was like, well, you were getting paid overtime, I wasn't, but it was like, you know, this there's a reason that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then one of the reasons that I think you and I have clicked so much from the get-go is apologize for the screaming baby in the background, but we also hate it. Like, I just want to be at home with my family. And, you know, I haven't played video games in a month. Skylar's been working at, not like legitimate nights, but she's been working a couple hours during the night, a couple days a week, just to get out of the house, you know, since she's not working full time anymore and doing school and all that. And it's like, I just want to relax for once. And when you work 7 days a week, you don't necessarily get to do that.
No. And, dude, if there's one thing I cannot stand, it's the slow grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body and mind do get used to it as you go along, but it's when you stop doing it and you work the straight eights and you get home at like 3 o'clock instead of 5:30, and you're like, what do I do with this time?
Or it's even worse. Like, I woke up this morning, you know, and I get anymore, I get up pretty early. You know, it's wintertime, so you got to give the vehicle time to warm up and all that jazz. And it's like, I was putting my boots on and stuff this morning, and I was like, wait a minute. Is it Monday? No, it's like Wednesday. I had no idea what day of the week it was today. Because, you know, I'm still groggy and tired and all that, but it's like I've worked so many days in a row that I don't know. Like, before it was, man, it sucks, I got to work Saturday. Now I don't even know Saturdays are Saturdays. It's just, I got to go to work.
Yeah, just another day on the grind. And, you know, I'm glad that project is done, because I hope you can go and move on to something that is less demanding. And be able to spend some more time at home. I haven't been playing a lot of games either. Some of it's because when I do play, I've been playing Mario Odyssey with Wyatt,
And I've just been playing a little bit here and there. I haven't played Cyberpunk in almost a week and a half, 2 weeks. Not for a fact that I'm having trouble with it or I dislike it. I'm just at a point where, like, I didn't play it for the day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I was playing that game. Mm-hmm. You know? So now it's like, man, I got to remember exactly what I was doing, what, you know, doing all that stuff. But you know what? I'm tired.
Dude, I tell you what, like, more every day I think I identify with Arthur Morgan towards the end of Red Dead Redemption 2 more than anything because I'm tired.
I'm tired,
boss.
I actually have the next week off. I rescheduled my vacation because originally we were thinking of taking a trip in October. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to schedule a vacation for later on in the year for quite a while due to medical stuff. But this year we were going to try it, and it doesn't seem like it's really going to happen. So mm-hmm. I had to make a decision, and I said, you know what? I'm taking all next week off. That's the plan. Right on. Let's go do it. And you know, if anybody asks, are you going anywhere warm like Ted Cruz? And I'm going to be like, yes, I am. Under my blanket. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I'm gonna be.
Well, I mean, shit, man. If you wanna lay around and take a nap, take a nap. If you wanna play some video games, play some video games.
Yeah.
You know, our homes are supposed to be our castles where we can get away from the outside world. It shouldn't have to constantly be invading us like the frigid temperatures in Texas. Yeah. I mean, it should just. Doesn't matter what you do, as long as you enjoy it.
Exactly. You know, although I haven't taken a real vacation, like going somewhere else in over 20 years.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I've never been able to really make it happen. This year is going to be the first time. So we're shooting, you know, it still may happen. I'm not saying it mm-hmm. won't. Because things may change, but you know, it's right now it's not happening, and I'm taking my week. There is a possibility for me to be getting days back because I could be trying to take a position that would make me get more days back, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So, that overtime thing we were talking about, as of right now, there's none in my future. If I get this position, there could be a lot of my future eventually. So we'll see. Right now, I kind of want it just to be able to better secure ourselves because there are things that we want to happen that need to happen and cannot happen if I don't have extra money coming in, which that's what overtime is, guys. It's extra money. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're living and you're getting used to extra money. Mm-hmm. That's because that's when you get in trouble. But it seems like Disney has a lot of extra money because they're throwing around a lot of cool stuff. Of course, today we're not talking about the new WandaVision episode because Tyler has not seen it yet, and I'm not going to be that guy and ruin it for him. So we'll probably catch up on that next week when we got two episodes to talk about. And after that, there'll only be one more, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Disney's throwing out a bunch of stuff. And I do believe that with this behind-the-scenes episode that they're doing after episode 9 of WandaVision, it's going to, the next mm-hmm. week after that's going right into Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And then that's going right into Loki. And then is that going right into What If? Or then, I'm not sure what series is after Loki.
I thought it was What It. Well, is that when the I guess we never necessarily got a release window for the Hawkeye show.
No, it's coming this year. They're filming it right now.
Yeah, I didn't know. Let me look it up real quick.
Because basically, if you look at it, there's going to be Marvel content each and every single week from now until the end of the year. There's going to be something. And, you know, I remember like there was some talk in the like in the network group chat about having fatigue. And you know what? That has been, you know, definitely a thing when they were churning out three movies every single year. Now there's going to be stuff every single week. I don't mind having something every week because it's a little bit easier to digest. Well, and then also it helps when the style of what they're doing is good, like what they've been doing with WandaVision. It's like it makes you interested to watch it, not just because they're superheroes, right? That should be the goal of any sort of superhero property. Get you interested in the story and into the style of what it's trying to be, more so than this is just another Marvel romp, right?
See, and that's a good point that you bring up, because you know, with the Snyder Cut and everything that's coming out next month, and then, you know, Warner Brothers and DC with Black Adam and a lot of that stuff, they're, and Suicide Squad, can't forget about that one. There is going to be a lot to look forward to, I think, with them. And I think now at this point, what really, if anything, what really differentiates Warner Brothers, DC, and Marvel, Disney is that with the DC stuff, we should be excited just because it's the characters that we know and love, it's established actors that we know and love, and they're the superhero movies. Now with and I was one of those people in the group chat the other day that was talking about the Marvel fatigue. I think that you hit the nail on the head. We should be more focused and more excited about the stories that they're trying to tell rather than the characters that are necessarily involved in that narrative. You know, am I excited to see the Spider-Man movie? Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. It's one of the ones that I'm most excited to see. Do I care more that it's a Spider-Man movie or that it's got a really well done story at this point? You know, I think we talked about it. I can't remember if it was one of the episodes that you and I did, just you and I, or maybe it was Nate and I, but early like in quarantine or something, I think we talked for over an hour by like Disney really needs to watch what they do in 2021, because if they crank out three movies that are good movies but not fantastic stories that don't really lay the groundwork for this next big arc or the beginning of the next big arc that they do, you know, I don't think that they're going to struggle by any means, but I think that there's going to be people like you and I that are going to be the first to say, you know what, that was good, but it's not as good as everything else that you've done so far, you know, and it might make them suffer a little bit.
Yes, but it's also, it's hard, especially once you're coming off of what you've come off of.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remember that up until Endgame, did they knock it out of the park every single time?
No.
I mean, look at Phase 2. Look at Phase 2, Thor the Dark World, you know, Iron Man 3, you know. Winter Soldier's great, you know. But, you know, there's a few in there that kind of missed the mark a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what mattered is that they hit the mark when they needed to hit the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any hiccups. Hopefully they don't have any major hiccups, you know.
See, I think the one thing that could really bite them though is from the run of the mill consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, not, you know, we're fans. Like preteen boy and girl in America at some point, or worldwide really, you know, has probably watched a Marvel property at this point. You have to keep those people hooked.
Yeah.
You have to pique the interest. You have to keep piquing the interest of the 10-year-olds. I mean, look at what Star Wars did. Every time they made a major motion picture up until really this last trilogy, how do we market this? How do we market these toys? Because the toys are what's truthfully going to make the movie successful. You know, and really Star Wars and Disney hasn't really done that with, you know, with, I mean, obviously there, you know, there's always going to be superhero toys, but obviously, you've got little boys. Have you went toy shopping lately? I don't know if it's COVID or what, but it in the stores, it's pretty pathetic.
It's barren.
Yeah,
it's bad. It is like there's nothing. Mm-mm. There's nothing. And, you know, I know that there were some issues with rollouts because of COVID and everything last year. Like the Black Widow toys came out around the time the movie was coming out. So you're getting Taskmaster, Black Widow action figures. And, of course, now, are they going to re-release those when they come out, like with the movie? Or because they kind of already had their run, and I don't see them anymore. Ghostbusters, same thing with Ghostbusters. That you started having a Ghostbusters section in the regular toy store. They're doing like remakes of old classic toys. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. That's $20. Ew. Now I know what my parents felt like every time. I was like, I want this, and they're like, no. I'm like, but come on. There was one time, I begged my dad for some toy, and then he knew he used to pull my hair when I would be acting up, and I'd hate it. So he told me, if you let me pull your hair right here in the store, you can get it. And I said, all right, do it. You know, weird flex, but let's do this, you know. And so now I'm like yelling at him, pull my hair, Dad, pull my hair. In the store, and I completely embarrassed.
People looking at you.
Yeah, and I'm completely embarrassed him. And he's like, put the damn thing in the cart, goddamn.
You made me remember that they were re-releasing Hi-C Ecto Cooler for this.
Are they doing it again for this next one?
I thought they were. I remember reading something about it.
I hope they do.
That was why I was most excited for this Ghostbusters movie.
because they released it when they did the last one, right? And I stocked up on that stuff. I had so much of it. It was awesome. I miss that stuff so much. So Nate sent us a little article, and they are finally doing comic book continuations of Batman 89, Superman 78, and the Batman one, of course, is going to be stories after Batman Returns. I actually did see another article where they did some character art to show what the characters look like. Obviously, they're not going to completely rip off the actor's likeness, but it is the Michael Keaton era, so he does kind of resemble Michael Keaton, but everybody else kind of has like versions of like classic Commissioner Gordon mixed with the Commissioner Gordon that was in the movie. So you're like, if you looked at it, you know exactly who it is, and you go, oh, I see what they're doing here. You know, they're trying to make it look like the guy that was in there, but also make him not rip off his appearance, you know. But apparently they're going to do like the Ability Williams style Two-Face, like they were going to do that they're going to, you know, a lot of these storylines that were cut out of Batman Returns, because Billy Dee Williams was originally in the script. In fact, in the original idea, I guess he was supposed to be Max Schreck, his character, but that got scrapped, and then they replaced him with the Max Schreck character. And then there was actually going to be a whole Robin storyline. And Penguin's circus gang was going to attack the circus. The guy they got to play Robin was Marlon Wayans.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. You know, a step out of the box, right? And he got hired for the role. They even like started doing some costume testing, and then they never did anything with it, and they changed the script entirely. And so there was actually a toy that came out for Robin for the movie, and it was just like a regular Robin, like, and it was a white figure because they didn't they hadn't announced that it was, you know, Marlon Wayans or anything like Wayans. That. I almost said Damon Wayans, but no, it was just so it's very interesting. Like, so Marlon got paid for that, even though he never actually did anything. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because I remember this was a concept that I saw. This is a pitch that got pitched to DC a while ago. and they never did anything with it, and they just kind of pushed it aside. Now they're actually doing something with it because they see that, why not, dude? Why not go back to these eras, to these movies that don't really have a definitive end, and you can add to it? We were supposedly getting a Michael Keaton comeback, mm-hmm. playing that character. So, you know, maybe there's a way that they could kind of, here is the rest of his story, you know, before we catch up to him in the Flash movie or whatever. You know, there was more to it.
Well, and who's to say that they don't, I mean, you have the freedom to write material prior to what we saw. I mean, mm-hmm. that doesn't, you know, what we saw, what I can pop in and watch on my TV, that doesn't necessarily have to be the first time that character existed.
Right.
I mean, you could absolutely do an entire comic book run of, you know, what happened the 5 years before that. You know, maybe he was just fighting petty crime. Sure. I'd read that all day.
See, they make it sound like in 89 that, like, you know, that, like, he's been around. And that he's like this unseen legend, like mm-hmm. like the criminals are they're whispering about him, you know, and they're a bit afraid to go out and do stuff. So it's like, if he's been around that much, he has to have been around for months, maybe a year,
least.
He had not yet had a big coming out party, you know, mm-hmm. where he's in the forefront and. Because in that movie, we do see, that's the first time Commissioner Gordon sees him, you mm-hmm. know, because he thinks he's made up and just all whatever. But then there's a lot they could do with it. I want to say one of the writers for the comic was, I think he worked on scripts from, you know, or something from there. I can't remember.
Cool.
That would be neat if that is true, if I'm right about that. So like, if they're going to start adapting some of these stories that didn't make it to Returns and Beyond and, you know, whatnot. But see, with Superman, I'm a little bit confused about it because I got less information about that. The only mm-hmm. thing that we know is that Lois does not know that Clark is Superman yet. So it's like, because they did multiples. They did, like, what, 4 sequels to Superman? Where's the 5?
I want to say it's 5.
So, like, they did quite a few sequels. And, you know, I mean, I remember 1 and 2, and then I remember one of them's got Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one that is, but...
I don't either. I think 4 is called A Quest for Peace.
Let me just pull it up. Turns out there's 15 of them.
Oh, God. Seen them. Christopher Reeve. I mean, but I just think it's really neat because, like, you know, in the comic realm, we got our continuation of Batman Beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, we never got a true finale or a continuation of that in the cartoon verse. Of course, now there's the rumors that they're doing another season or bringing a revival of the original series back for mm-hmm. HBO Max, which I'm all on board for. You know, give me 1080p high def Batman animated series, you know, mm-hmm. I'm on board with that. But
okay, there was Superman. Hold on.
There's Superman 2, and then there's like 2 versions of 2. There's like the regular 2, and then there's the Richard Donner cut, kind of like the Snyder cut.
Hold on, my computer had a stroke again. Okay.
Oh no.
There is 4. Superman, Superman 2, Superman 3, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
The Quest for Peace. As I said, I only really remember 1 and 2. And I remember Richard Pryor's in one of the other ones. I think he's in 3.
He's in 3, yeah. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have never seen 3.
You know, one of these days, when they're back up on HBO Max, I might have to sit down and just kind of marathon them, watch them. Because, I mean, it's interesting because the first one came out in, like, what, 78 or something like that, right?
78. It was 78, 80, 83, 87.
So, like, they are – so think about that. The last Superman movie came out 2 years before Batman came out, mm-hmm. right? And that first Superman movie, there was nothing like that. That was, like, the real first big superhero movie. And – it really set a standard for the time. And then, you know, they would do sequels, and they would do, and in the '80s you see other stuff and other properties get made. But then the next big landmark one is Batman. Mm-hmm. You know? And then,
well, especially, you know, the '80s was the time of the action hero.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, we were more concerned with Terminator and you know, just plug any Jean-Claude Van Damme, plug any action hero. I mean, look at the amount of money that Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Sylvester Stallone and Steven Seagal made in the '80s. Like, ridiculous.
Oh, dude. And then you have like Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about Chuck Norris. Yeah,
he was in there doing his thing. You know, Bruce Willis, you can even start throwing him in there because, you know, because he came out to play for Die Hard. And
right.
That got him started. But no, that was like that big over the top, you know, action movie. Lethal Weapon. Mm-hmm. Lethal Weapon was another one. Mel Gibson, even, I mean, doing all the stuff that he did, you know, Mad Max and, mm-hmm. you know, and Lethal Weapon. You know, funny thing about Lethal Weapon. You know, we were talking about how Marlon Wayans got hired and got paid and never did anything. So, uh-huh. So they, when they were making Lethal Weapon 2, they hired I'm gonna look him up now because his name's on the tip of my tongue. It's a crazy motherfucker. He's the villain in Lethal Weapon 1, or one of the villain. Gary Busey.
Okay.
Sorry, for some reason Gary Busey's name just
Gary Busey.
So Gary Busey dies in Lethal Weapon 1.
Uh-huh.
The producers hired him again for Lethal Weapon 2. Having forgot that he died in 1. So Gary Busey was like, he didn't know the story. He's like, "Fuck yeah, I'll do it." You know, like that was a lot of fun doing that movie. And be cool to see everybody again. And he's just like, he goes, I mean, I wonder how they're gonna bring me back. Are they just gonna how did I live? And then they're like, oh, wait, you died. Sorry, Gary. But they still paid him the full amount.
Wow.
Yeah. So once again, you know, in Hollywood, sometimes it's cool if you don't get the role. If you've signed on and then they don't use you. Well, you know, yeah, you had a guarantee of about $65,000. So that's what we're going to pay you. And you don't have to do anything.
I don't get that lucky.
I know. Me either.
You know what? You're supposed to work today. We're going to send you home and pay you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. No, just to say, you know, to close that part, I am excited to see that pitch has got accepted finally. Batman 89, mm-hmm. We get to see more of that verse. Because I just kind of thought that was a no-brainer for a comic book. I'm like, why would you not explore that? Because the most we ever got before was it was pitch, and there was some, like some basically tester art that the guy drew up of Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face, and there's Michael Keaton as Bruce and Batman again. So yeah, it's like, no, like that'd definitely be cool.
Let me ask you this.
What's up?
Obviously, you know, there's the news of, let me rephrase that. We love the Batman animated series and the Batman Beyond series, right?
Yes. Yes.
Two of the greatest animated series of all time. You know, narrative, voice acting, character work, like the whole shebang. Like, they are perfect. The Mask of the Phantasm movie. I still have my original VHS. Like, same. What an incredible story. You know, I went back and rewatched it not long ago, and it is. Like, it still holds up to this day. It is top notch.
It was so good for an animated film.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel, like, say this comic continuation works out for the 89 Batman and Superman? How would you feel if they pitched that as a new Batman animated series? I mean, how cool would that be?
That would be awesome because it would be easy to get a lot of the guys who are involved who are still alive,
mm-hmm.
if they want to come do it and if you can afford it, because that would be right. The other part is like obviously they're like they got some good stuff going on with Michael Keaton. If they call Michael, it's like, hey, do you want to do this voice? It's like, obviously, why is Michael Keaton doing superhero stuff now? He wants that money.
Yeah.
You know, because there for a long time, he didn't do anything. He only did what he wanted to, you know? Mm-hmm. He even said that one of the only reasons that he did Batman Returns is because he wanted to buy some land. he wanted to buy this ranch. Because he was timid about doing a sequel. He's like, man, I've already done it, and there's not really much of a lot of me in this movie. It's more about the villains, because which is fine, but he wasn't getting much out of it,
right?
Which is why when you watch the first movie and the second movie, there's almost like a distinct character change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the first movie, he's more brooding. He does actually have the kind of the mask and the unmask, like of that. And he seems way more mysterious. In Batman Returns, he's very much just kind of like hanging out, just being acting more normal, just more casual. Which I love Michael Keaton, so I'm not mad about it. Because like then of course you see other people's takes on it. Val Kilmer comes across very well as a rich kid, Mike. You know. George Clooney doesn't really play the dichotomy very well at all. He just plays the same character.
Bat nipples.
Bat nipples. which is funny.
Bat nipples.
He does kind of like Adam Westy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like Adam West, but it's what reminds me the most because
it's like Dollar General Adam West.
Oh man! And what sucks is that he's actually a pretty good actor, and
I love Clooney, but man, his fucking Batman it is hysterical.
Oh no! The only reason to watch it is for a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do you have him do it, then you have Schwarzenegger doing ice and snow puns for the whole damn thing. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Uma Thurman doing basically a Dudley Do-Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do say, you're killing her. I'll bring everything you see, plus everything you don't. No, but there is a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of stuff down the line, and we just saw a little rumor mill that is Jennifer Lawrence in talks to be in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I pulled this up a little bit ago. It was confirmed that Marvel's first family will return to the big screen with Spider-Man Director 3, John Watts. Did I say Spider-Man Director 3?
Yeah, I think you did, but it's all
right. Spider-Man 3 Director John Watts. Sorry. And this is speculation, but like apparently this has been the rumor of rumors the last few days. A report from the Daily Telegraph claims that Marvel will shoot the Fantastic Four film and that Lawrence will be heading there for it. So, you would have to assume that she's playing Sue.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to admit that in my brain, I'm like, man, she's a bit young for that, isn't she? That I'm like, no, she's not.
Yeah. We're just getting old.
I know. My brain went like, it's 2001. Isn't she a bit young? No. Mm-hmm. It's been 10 years there, pal. She would make the perfect age range to play fucking... Like, God dang. What's wrong? What's going on here? Oh. Jessica Alba played in the other ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And how come she played that and she was like 20 years old, and how come she doesn't look any older?
Yeah. Voodoo.
It's got to be some witchery. Something. Because you and me are over here aging and graying like...
I'm aging right now.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. Oh, man. No, I think Jennifer would be great. I know that we had some talks earlier about Reed Richards and, you know, who could play him. I made a joke that I can't remember if it was on this show or not. It might have been on the show or it might have been after that. They should just bring Chris Evans back to play Johnny Storm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then he's like the multiverse Johnny Storm, but he just sticks around. And I can just imagine him getting another chance to play Johnny Storm. And then Paul Rudd, Ant-Man. You look like Steve Rogers. You know, I've been getting that a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Huh. No, I'm Johnny Storm. Human Torch. Uh-huh. And they're all sitting there getting briefed by like Doctor Strange, and you see Paul Rudd leaning back looking at Johnny Storm's ass.
Mm-hmm. That's America's ass.
I think it'd be funny. I don't know what they're going to do. And then, of course, I mean, Fantastic Four is so far down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now they're filming Thor. They're filming a bunch of other stuff.
It's just frustrating because we want... Like, obviously, I don't necessarily care about the Fantastic Four because, you know, I'm that guy. But, like, you start casting some really, really high-profile people as the, you know, Marvel's first family, and maybe I'll get real interested, you know, because I have a lot of respect for Jennifer Lawrence. I've been a big fan of hers for a long time. I think she's an incredible actress. So I think, really... You know, obviously the fan casting, everybody wants John Krasinski and his wife to play Reed and Sue. But I mean, it's like I just want somebody. They don't even have to be well known. I just want somebody to give a shit about the character.
Yeah.
You know, you like obviously those original Fantastic Four movies were awful, but you go back and watch them now and it's like, you know, no offense, Jessica Alba, but your performance was like awful.
It felt hollow to me.
Yes.
You know, whereas Chris Evans was actually actively bringing it. He's trying to, you know, trying to make it work, and which is so funny with what he would go to do. But who would play a good thing nowadays? It's hard. So we have this rumor of like Jennifer Lawrence and of course the fan casting of like of John Krasinski. Would you rather keep most of the other roles kind of like more newer and unknown? Because it's like when they went and they casted Bucky Barnes, he wasn't a huge major actor, like mm-hmm. like leading man type of actor yet. When you go to like But then again, they went for Ant-Man. They went to Paul Rudd, who had done a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and you know Chris Pratt, who was on the rise. You know, they got him on pretty early on with his post Parks and Rec type thing, where it's like, you know, he's going to be a big major star. But like for Tom Holland, unknown, complete unknown. Yeah. You know. So, yeah, it's like I almost would kind of want them to cast a bunch of unknowns. You know, I want to go and I want them, and I have all the faith in the world that they could perform a really well done movie. Maybe you do unknowns for the team, and then if they're going to do Doctor Doom for the villain, which they pretty much means they probably won't, since they've already done Doctor Doom twice, right? Mm-hmm. But if they do bring back Doom, I mean, there's a fan casting for Doctor Doom as well.
Who's yours?
Well, it was I got to remember how to pronounce his name. Hold on. He's everywhere, and he does everything now.
Giancarlo Esposito?
Yep. I think he would do great.
Yeah.
But I would like him to be on for the long haul, not just for the one Fantastic Four movie, because Doom is the kind of character who is a central piece of the overall Marvel antagonists, right? Even if he's not always the lead villain, he's always a guy pulling the plot in a certain direction.
Well, he should be. You know, he's the master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
He's your guy. You can push a lot of different storylines, a lot of different directions, just by involving Dr. Doom.
Like in the Secret Wars arc, there's that godlike being who, you know, tears all these worlds apart, all these heroes and villains, and makes like, you know, this is your Colosseum, fight for me. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Doom's like, I'm going to become you. I'm going to figure out what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I'm going to have your power. And whereas the other guys are like, man, how are we going to do this? What's that? Like, Galactus is over there. And then we got Green Goblin over here. And, you know, Spider-Man's got a black suit, and Colossus is falling in love with another, all this other bullshit that's happening in this story. And there's Dr. Doom over there hustling. You know, he's thinking of the next level. He's realized some serious shit has just gone down that is far above my head. And if I have my way, it will no longer be above my head. So, man, I'm not sure what else there is to talk about. Did you see there's some stuff coming out from Konami? So apparently there's some new games from Castlevania and Silent Hill in the works.
Okay.
So there's been a long-standing rumor that the same company that did the remake for Demon's Souls,
mm-hmm.
Blue Point Games. Now they used to do a lot of remasters back in the day. Now they're actually developing, you know, remakes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That they're working on another game. Pretty top secret, and we don't know any hard evidence or anything like that. But the rumor is that it's a complete remake of the original Metal Gear Solid for the PS5.
Yeah,
and so a few years ago, like 2017. Out of the blue, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Is it Robin Atkins Downs? He's like a voice actor. He's in a lot of different stuff. He plays Kazuhiro Miller from Peace Walker and Phantom Pain. He had a meeting with the voice director, longtime voice director for all the Metal Gear games. And they were having lunch or something, and they were talking. And he just posted a bunch of like video stuff to his Instagram, and people were like, "Oh, you're having lunch? Okay, what are you guys talking about?" And basically, they're like, "Yeah, we can't say, right? Okay, fine." But there was one thing that guy said is that she said they need to call Paul Eiding. He voices mm-hmm. Colonel Campbell. So then, shortly after that, Robin tagged David Hayter in a tweet that said, you know, Snake, I have a mission for you. And then David Hayter replied sometime later just with the gif of Michael Corleone, Corleone from Godfather Part 3. Just when I think I'm out,
mm-hmm.
pull me back. And then it went radio silence. So a lot of people are thinking that they were teasing something that they knew they couldn't talk about, and then they just dropped it immediately just to fuck with people. And
you know what's incredibly sad?
Huh.
Like news like this, you know, obviously a Metal Gear Solid OG remake would be like incredible, you know, to even if you like no quality of life improvements, you just make the graphic like graphically just make it current, like next gen, keep everything the same in the game, like even the gameplay, like, you know, I would still like explode.
And see, the thing is that there are some rights issues, or there has to be, because Silicon Knights made made the GameCube remake, mm-hmm. the Twin Snakes, and it's basically the same game with MGS 2 and 3 style of gameplay where you can go first person and hang from the ledges and do that kind of stuff. But the game was remade from the ground up using the same graphics engine and gameplay. And we haven't gotten anything from that.
Mm-mm.
You know? That wasn't Hideo Kojima's original vision. He let the guy that was directing that go off and do your own thing. Have fun, kid, right? In fact, he had fun watching, see what they did with it.
Right.
So much so when they did MGS 5 and they went back to Shadow Moses, the original location for the original game, they used the audio from the remake, but they did not use the gameplay. They used the original style gameplay for that nostalgia, because he liked what they did with the audio by lessening the accents on Mei Ling mm-hmm. and on Naomi. And he actually used that for those characters in that game. Like, he's like, yeah, that makes a lot more sense that they wouldn't be so harsh or whatever. And maybe that wasn't directly his choice. It was more like the localization choice for the North American release. But if you're telling me that they're working on it from the ground up in the Fox engine that they made MGS 5 with, mm-hmm. MGS 1, like, that almost seems like it's like too small of a setting for that kind of gameplay. But I'm all in for that.
Yeah, I'm sold.
But that's just it, man. There's stuff coming out, but there's just not a lot of stuff coming out. It's like,
well,
we had that Nintendo Direct, and it was a lot of just, eh.
Here's the problem, too. It's like, as far as anything, this is what one of the things I was going to say, I forgot. Like, I'm really pumped for news like this and rumors, and I get excited, and it's like, I shouldn't be excited because I can't play them anyway.
Right, yeah, right.
I'm to the point now where I'm strongly considering building a gaming PC because I can't. Why shouldn't I build a PC that I can do everything I want with when I realistically can't buy a Series X or a PS5 for at least another year, probably. It's
yeah.
not realistic.
I was pretty upset that they did another Best Buy launch yesterday while I was working, and I found out about 2 hours later and they were gone. For PlayStation. So it's like, you know, I've got my little gaming laptop here. You know, it's pretty cool. But I'm just not much of a PC gamer to the point I get what I've come to call it the Tyler rage. When I get unmittingly like just angry but it's like a focused rage.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's me.
Yeah. So while having something like the Epic Game Store is awesome, because every single game I have in the Epic Game Store was for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they did GTA 5 last year for free.
Right.
Ghostbusters Remastered for free. Borderlands 2 pre-sequel. Costume Quest 2. The first Hitman. From the new ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Galactic Civilizations 3, Jurassic Park Evolution, or Jurassic World. Then they did Rocket League, Rage 2, Civ 6, Battlefront 2, and Watch Dogs 2. And there's some other smaller ones in here that I just have never really heard of. But every time I turn my computer on, it every week, it's like, bloop, this is free for you. All you have to do is go redeem it. Like, and it's cool, and I have them, but here's the deal. One of the best things I've ever done on my computer was buy Final Fantasy IX and get the fucking mods for them. Mm-hmm. God, it makes that game look beautiful. The only way that I could truly play it's on the just on the computer, and then I can hook it up to my TV and it plays on the TV. It doesn't really work that well. I get it to work and get it up on the TV and it's fine. But then I like to play with a controller, not a mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. And you would not believe how much trouble I've had with an Xbox controller made by Microsoft hooking up to Windows made by Microsoft. It is like, okay, so say I'm playing and I get it connected and it's fine. It's Bluetooth. We're rocking, we're rolling. But I've got kids. And anybody who games and has kids, you have to take prolonged pause breaks. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. It's the way it is about being a dad. You got to do it. So I hit pause, put the controller down. 10 minutes later, it's turned off. I sit back down. I'm ready to clear and go, and it won't repair. Mm-hmm. And I have to get up, walk up. I have to remove my controller memory from. I have to remove the device from the computer. Then I have to resync it completely. Some cases I even have to restart the game, because then the game's like, I don't know what's going on here. Because I remember our buddy Mike was like, well, just hook up your controller to it. I'm like, okay, I'll just hook up my controller to it. And even then I want to punch right through my laptop. Just trying to play Final Fantasy IX. I'm not even talking about like brand new, epic, you know, like it played GTA 5. My gaming laptop, I mean, gaming laptops is not the way you want to go if you want a really hardcore gaming machine, but it played, sounding like a jet engine, GTA 5, 1080p, 60 frames per second. Like it works. And it was running perfectly. I'm like, this is awesome. I have a way to play it. If all my shit breaks and I have a computer, I can play that game. And that's great. I'm never gonna. I mean, and that's just it. I bought a Raspberry Pi to play my old games on, like, in the living room, because the back room has kind of been overtaken by my youngest kid. And I was once again hit with this whole part of PC gaming that I hate: the setup. Setting up a new thing, this thing, do this. On the Pi, I still can't get Wi-Fi to work. To this day. It has to be hardlined. It has Wi-Fi in it. It just won't connect, even if I type in the right thing. I don't know why. It's just not working. I hate that. So, like, you know, do I want a better PC? Will I get another one? Yes. Will it be able to... Will it have... the top line end of the shit? No. Is someone else going to do it for me? Yes. Because what I like to do is not tinker, because it just makes me angry. The more that I tinker, the angrier I get. If I need to troubleshoot and figure something out, just like doing yesterday, we did that live stream for Rank 'Em All, right? Go check out Rank 'Em All if you haven't. You said there's no audio. I'm like, well, shit. So I eventually ended the live stream. There's audio on the recording. Why was nothing streaming out? It's because on my track and on the speaker track, I had turned off every single output except for one, because I found a way for my video editor to have more than one audio file per video file, which is really neat. So I have one for me and one for my guests, and I'm able to tweak them a little bit better instead of just trying to gauge it. We sound kind of close. Me doing that fucked up the live stream completely. Like, and I was over here like trying to figure that out, and it was just happenstance that I happened to look in there. Otherwise, we would have canceled live stream because I ain't got no sound. I can't figure out why. So, you know, if you're going to build a PC... best of luck. Best of luck. And I would just say, for your own sanity, you know, from me to you, get help. Just get help. I mean, you and I, we could probably figure this stuff out. But we both have a tendency to just, like, again, focus on the thing that's making us angry and not be able to get off of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
I just want to be able to play games again, and I can't really do that because Microsoft and Sony don't make enough of the thing that I want to buy.
I don't understand why they're not in stores now. Why they're not just rolling them out, putting them out on the, like, on, because there's no reason not to at this point.
They don't have enough, apparently.
Well, and that's going to be an issue because of the semiconductors now. Apparently, there were two major plants of semiconductors in the entire world, and one of them just. Apparently, they made it out of matchsticks, the plant, and it just burnt to the ground. And
y'all, you got any more matchsticks?
Hey, you know, that was pretty cheap to build that building with those matchsticks. We need to find some more. But apparently, Samsung is the other major producer. But, I mean, there's, like, those things go in phones, electronic PCs, games, cars. So the entire... like industries of a lot of different things are being affected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm right there with you. I am taking this opportunity at some point when I can actually start a new game to start whittling down with games I have not had a time to go through and finish or even start. I have more than what I want to admit. Even games that I might have started and didn't dig, I want to kind of go back and see if there's a, what don't I dig about it? What don't I like about it? Is there something I do like about it? You know, I was able to see through some of the hate for Cyberpunk,
mm-hmm.
and still enjoy myself. Is there something else with these other games that I can find enjoyment in?
Well, I'm more so upset more than anything that Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes out next month, and
it comes out in May.
It's next month, May. That's what I meant. But it comes out in May, and I won't be able to play it right away. I'll buy it. You know, I'll have it, but I won't be able to play it.
Yeah, no, and that's coming out for Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah. I thought, but isn't it... Whatever.
No, they have some upgrades if you play it on the next ones. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to get it for my Xbox One X and play it on there. Because they're going to be, because you don't have a Pro or an X, I think, because you have the base model PS4 and a 1S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, if you have a 1S, it's going to look great. It's going to look fine. Those games were not being remastered for the PS5 or Xbox Series X in mind. They're being done for the for the PS4 Pro and the 1X to get the 4K visuals. But the overall, like, just they're going to be playable on, like, on those consoles as well. So don't feel like that you can't play them. But I've pretty much given up hope for getting a new console. I pretty much threw in the towel. Not worried about it. I'm worried about other stuff. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe Christmas time we'll see what things hold. But, like, I saw that they had the drop yesterday, and I'm like, all right. Cool.
Yeah.
Guess I'll go home and play my other stuff then. Yeah, man. We have a lot of cool stuff coming out to keep us hopefully occupied as we're entering the second year of these strange times.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I think it's going to kind of be the same for most of this year. And then as we get to the end of the year, it'll hopefully start relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the next year, it's going to be like, all right, remember all that crazy shit? We're kind of done with that now. You know, we can't just bounce back next month and be everybody's fine. Everybody's back to normal.
Right.
Thankfully, the end is sight. The end is in sight, though. At least we hope.
Yes.
At least we hope. But apparently, my kid said that is rude. I'm not sure what happened, but he said that is rude.
The end
rude.
Is nigh. That's rude.
damn it, I was counting on that. That was my way out.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like, we're just really tired and really super chill and relaxed. We came into the episode with really nothing to talk about. So, with saving WandaVision, I don't want to ruin that for Tyler. I want him to experience it. So,
thank you.
Yeah. I really got nothing else really to talk about. Like, I'm tapped.
That's all I have to say about that.
I'm tired, boss.
Just one more job. Have some faith, Arthur.
It's always another damn train. Anyway, what do you think of the casting for The Last of Us series? We haven't really had a chance to talk about that.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. The only thing that I don't love about it is, and I think pretty much everybody else, that the fan-wise and maybe even in the industry, is going to draw the same parallel with Pedro Pascal and Ellie, as it's essentially the same show as The Mandalorian.
But more hardcore.
But more hardcore, you know? So I'm not upset about that because, you know, obviously you and I are big fans of that existing narrative anyway. So as long as they stay semi-true to that, and, you know, Pedro is obviously incredible. He's phenomenal. I forget her name, but she's phenomenal too. I mean, mm-hmm. she was one of my favorite characters in Game of Thrones. You know, even as infrequently as we saw that character,
she had a lot of fire.
Yes. It a lot of passion.
Yep.
So I'm ecstatic.
What I'm really excited about is the, and I know you haven't watched Wonder Woman, and it's kind of hard to say without giving a slight spoiler. It's not really a story spoiler to say that the character that Pedro Pascal plays loves his kid.
Okay.
But just imagine taking that for granted, almost have it ripped away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to get it back and then see the other side of that.
Right.
With Pedro, we got to see that. That he almost, for his own selfishness, sacrificed the one thing that he loved the most. And that was his kid. And then it took that to kind of snap him out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you know, he's like hugging his kid, and you, as a father, you just get emotional. You know, it's like, even if, like, I would never do what he did, but, you know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's nothing that's more. And so knowing that he can go into that spot where he feels that emotional about a child that was supposed to be his own, that's the kind of connection that him and Ellie eventually end up having. Is that, you know, she isn't just a job.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes a person he really cares about. And a somewhat replacement for the daughter that he lost. And he ain't going through that again.
Right.
And again, that act in itself is very selfish. I think it's going to work. I think we did see him in dad mode a little bit, like in Mando, which is why it works. I saw that Troy Baker, he said, I'm so excited to see what I learn about Joel through Pedro's eyes.
That's cool.
You know, so it's like, you know, because it's so hard the way that they portray the characters in both games. It's hard to cast them, anybody as them, because the existing actors and actresses did such a good job. And it's almost like anybody you cast is going to be a step down because they've already set the standard. But the fact that he's excited about it, the fact that Ashley Johnson, she's excited about it, you know, and that Neil Druckmann is helped write the story, and he was involved. I guarantee he was involved with this casting process.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
had to be.
You know, and not only did we get great actors, But for Pedro, he's a guy on the rise right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been involved in some big stuff here lately. So to know that they're not sparing any expense, I guess is what I'm getting at, you know, coming into this series. And I'm excited. I'm super excited to see what they're doing, because from what they have said, they're not changing the story of Joel and Ellie. What you've played is what you're going to see, but what you're also going to see is stuff you don't get to see.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff going on, there's, you know, the expanding world, you know, we're going to introduce you to more characters that you never met, because the game has to kind of have a certain focus.
Right.
As you're going down here, a show can just be and like an umbrella encompassing, you know, mm-hmm. you know, Joel and Ellie are just a part of that, but they're the integral. So pretty excited, pretty excited. But that's all I got. That I'm seriously now tapped out. That's it.
My closing statement here is this show has an incredible opportunity to do what The Walking Dead and other zombie TV shows like Z Nation, you know, there's been a few in the last 10 years. They have an incredible opportunity to do what they couldn't and continually be impactful.
Yeah.
Because if I walked up to 10 random people right now and asked them what they thought about The Walking Dead TV show, two or three of them would say that show's still happening. Two of them would probably say that it's crap. And then the remainder would say, oh, we like that show. We still watch it every now and then. And that's the extent of it. And that's not fair to that. That's not fair to The Walking Dead. And if something like that were to happen to something like The Last of Us, that would be even more unfair.
I don't think we're going to have any risk of that, because when it comes to something like HBO, they have shown that they don't care if something only goes four seasons,
mm-hmm.
as long as it tells a good story. And, you know, they're going to be able to continually make money off of it after the fact. But the fact that the showrunner said that this is Joel and Ellie's story,
mm-hmm.
and that's the centerpiece. So we know that there's impactful moments that happen across the board with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love for the first episode to be a normal everyday thing, and then the things don't go wrong until the very end. So you spend a whole day getting to know Joel's daughter. And it almost seems like she's going to be an important part of the story, but really mm-hmm. she's not, because she dies at the end of the first episode. And you end the first episode on him holding his daughter in tears,
mm-hmm.
struggling. Dude, that was something that when I watched, I've watched a lot of behind the scenes for Last of Us, and they filmed that scene like 8 times in one day.
I remember you and I talked about it, yeah.
And Neil's like, you don't have it yet. And he's like, what do you mean I don't have it yet? Of course I have it. I nailed it. And it was just Neil's like, Joel is supposed to be feeling 17 different emotions all in the matter of like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Panic, fear, I can fix this. She's gone. Despair. Hopelessness. Denial. You know, and I remember showing somebody the intro to that game, and they were never going to play it, but they heard me talking about it, and they're like, why is this game, like, why is that game so good? And I said, mm-hmm. watch this. And I think we sat like somewhere and watched it, like in a parking lot. And he started getting emotional because he had a daughter. He didn't know who these characters were. But it was just for that short 20-minute opening. He was like, okay, I get it. Like, they were able to do something like that. Like, because, you know, he's a guy that he doesn't always see games as that art form. You know,
right.
Like, he knows they can be, but a lot of times he closes that part off. Like, oh, they're just their shooters and have fun. Like, no, they can go that far. And if they do that and they replicate that in the show, as you said, able to keep it impactful, able to keep it must-see television.
Mm-hmm.
They got a winner, because the main story is already that. Well, guys, that does it for here for us here today. Pretty sure got nothing else. Tapped out. I got to go check on my meat. I got to go make sure that meat. I'm smoking some barbecue. And I'm all about that. Are you rocking the blanket? Fuck yeah. You're in a warm place right now.
Yep.
See, I don't need a blanket because I'm sitting right over my vent. I'm like one of those fat, lazy cats that just... one of our fat, lazy cats. Literally one day, my wife said that, you know, the heat was running. And she went in the living room and saw that it wasn't getting any warmer in there. It's because this cat had her entire body over the vent and was blocking the heat for the rest of the room so that way she could stay warm.
Goodness.
Oh, man. But Tyler, oh, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me here today.
Thank you.
On another week here on the Journey into Comics podcast. You can check us out on all the podcasting platforms and places and stuff. Check out the Facebook page where the show goes live early every single Sunday. Usually between 6 and 9, somewhere around there. So you can check out the show a whole day early if you want to. And, you know, social media, same stuff, Journey to Comics Network, all that good jazz. Until then, until next time, not sure what we're going to call this episode. I really don't know. Nothing's really sticking out. But this has been episode 336 of Journey to Comics podcast. I've been Brando.
And I've been T.Y.
Pop caps back. Fill your brisanes with that shiznit. Way later on, guys.